from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, a Senate committee is asking Facebook to respond to allegations it suppresses conservative views. We'll discuss the charges the Senate is looking into, and we'll turn our attention to social media and political bias. Then at 9:30, the Brown administration announced plans on Monday to drop all statewide water conservation targets set up last June. It also put forth permanent rules on water wasting. We'll discuss the easing of conservation targets and the water use bans that are here to stay. All up ahead on this morning's Forum program after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. When Facebook first rolled out its trending news feature, the company assured the public that it used impartial algorithms to determine story rankings. But on Monday, the tech blog Gizmodo reported that Facebook's news curators, as they're known, were instructed to exclude conservative-oriented stories. Facebook denies the allegations, but the news has sparked outrage among conservative and liberal media outlets alike and prompted a Senate inquiry into Facebook's practices. We're going to discuss in this first segment of Forum how curated news shapes the stories that you see online. And joining us to do this is Will Oremus. He joins us from New York, senior technology writer for Slate. Good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Dawn Chmielewski, who is senior editor of Recode, and she's in Irvine, California this morning. Dawn Chmielewski, welcome to Forum.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you as well. And let me begin with you, Dawn Chmielewski, if I could, by just having us understand a little bit what the accusations are in more specific terms against Facebook, what they're supposed to have done here.
So this is Gizmodo's reporting. Gizmodo quoted one former journalist, whom it does not identify, who said that that these news curators routinely suppress news that would be of interest to conservative readers. And others whom the site spoke to said that sites that have a conservative bent, one example offered is Red State, a blog that taps into a conservative readership, are sort of discarded in favor of more mainstream outlets such as the New York Times. Now, what we're talking about here, just for purposes of clarity, is not the news feed that we all see when we open up Facebook and we're looking at pictures of our friends' kids and articles that people find of interest, but rather this section called Trending Topics, which is so small as to be overlooked. It's in the upper right-hand corner of the desktop app. It's almost invisible on the mobile app, and it is supposed to be Facebook's way to respond to kind of the immediacy of Twitter by surfacing articles that are, you know, topical at that moment among users of the platform.
Well, this gets into the whole question of trending, and behind that, Will Oremus, the algorithms. I mean, this is supposed to prioritize stories that should be seen, but there are obvious limitations, and to a great extent, there's subjectivity and judgment that plays a central role, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's something that Facebook has really been loath to admit, and I think now we're seeing them pay the price for that. Facebook's immense value as a company has been built largely on its philosophy of using algorithms to do things that humans had done before. So it uses algorithms to sort what you see in your main news feed when you open up Facebook, either on the web or in the app. And then it uses algorithms for this trending module that Dawn was mentioning, where it is looking at which stories are being shared the most across Facebook by all users. The algorithm ranks those by popularity. The problem is, you know, no algorithm is perfect. First of all, algorithms are built by humans. They have human flaws themselves. And then the output of an algorithm is almost always not going to be exactly what a trained human would want. And so what Facebook realized, to their credit, from the start with this trending module is that they couldn't just post the most popular stories as ranked by this algorithm, because some of them would be artifacts of bad data. They would be duplicates. They would be stories that the algorithm thought were talking about one thing, but were actually talking about another. Some of them might be misleading stories. They might be scams or false news or rumors or slander. And so they hired a team of humans to oversee this and to make sure that the stuff that appeared in the trending box was actual news that was transpiring around the world. Now, Facebook would like you to think that this is all objective, that their goal is just to clean up the data. You know, they're just there to make sure that the stories surfaced by the algorithm are real. Well, in fact, as anyone who's worked as a journalist will tell you, there is going to be editorial and judgment involved. And anytime there's editorial judgment involved, there's going to be subjectivity that comes into play. I think what happened here was that Facebook did not fully reckon with the subjectivity that was inherent in any kind of an editorial decision. They presented this as objective and algorithmic, and now when it comes out that there are human value judgments, now they're on the defensive.
Well, many of these, we're not only talking about Sourcebook, but about Facebook here, we're talking about a lot of social media trying to move into the realm of journalism or news stories or covering them and trying to present neutrality when there's biases. And as I think Don mentioned before, you've got biases just in the selection of where the news is coming from, whether it's Newsmax and Breitbart and the Washington Examiner or the BBC and the New York Times and CNN. And let's talk about why the Senate is being involved in this with you, Don, if we could. Don Chmielewski, again, a senior editor of Recode, because we've got Senator John Thune, particularly a South Dakota Republican, who is trying to get an accountability here from Facebook. And actually, this is turning into a pretty political spectacle in many ways, isn't it?
Isn't everything in D.C. politics? I mean, so here's what's interesting to me is the Commerce Committee, which is the committee that has sent a letter to Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg with a long list of questions, technically has oversight of technology issues. Now, there are a couple of immediate questions, like, is Facebook really a news organization? If so, this would sort of be unprecedented if we think of it as a news organization. But really, it has never it sort of positions itself as something not quite that. But rather as a sort of a technology that is both my television network and my phone, you know, so an outlet that brings together in an unprecedented way all forms of communication, both personal and broadcast in one platform. Now this particular committee has the power actually to subpoena and dig into the algorithms and the selection process. This could potentially be uncomfortable, at least for Facebook, which has been largely opaque about how this process works, as has, it should be noted, Google.
They've been pretty silent about it, in fact, as you suggested. But Will Oremus, we had this former curator who essentially, I guess he's identified as a conservative, but he kept a running log of omissions. But he also claimed, and there were other claims floating around, that there was pressure about stories that, for example, were not necessarily going to be reported that were, particularly like Black Lives Matter. It started on Facebook, the whole movement. It had support from Mark Zuckerberg. So there's a sense that maybe there's a lot of injecting of topics, too, here.
Yeah, that was the claim, and that's how the Gizmodo story painted it. As you know, Facebook had really hardly even talked about the involvement of humans before this. If you looked at the help page and there's a topic that says, how are the stories selected for the trending news section, it doesn't say anything about people. It talks about, you know, the posts that are getting the most engagement and things that are relevant to your interests. There was actually a piece in Recode, I believe, a little while back that tried to delve into it a little deeper. And Facebook then admitted that there were some humans involved, but that their goal was really just to clean up the data. This former curator, who was a conservative, said he saw bias at work all the time among his colleagues. I have no trouble believing that. I mean, we all bring biases to the table when we make editorial judgments. This is again, it's a very common issue for any kind of journalistic organization. I think Dawn really put her finger on the crux of the issue here, which is that Facebook sees itself as a technology company, not a media company. It's a company that provides the technological platform through which media companies can reach users. At the same time, it is not just a neutral platform. I mean, it's not just, it's not even comparable really to a Time Warner or a Comcast, which is providing the, you know, providing the service, and then the media companies have their channels. It really selects what you see. And so it has become, in a real sense, probably the most influential force in what the news reading public consumes today. This trending module in particular brought it a little closer to explicitly being a media company, because now it's in the business of choosing which stories are most important or interesting for users to see. And so I think the curators naturally exercise the kind of judgment that journalists would do in that sort of situation. You know, they see a story that's in, that the algorithm surfaces, that looks kind of trivial, or it looks, you know, maybe suspect in terms of who the source is. Maybe because they happen to be a liberal, they're more likely to suspect that it's not credible if it comes from a source like Breitbart or The Blaze or Red State. Maybe not. I mean, maybe it's also just that one curator, you know, felt that way. But regardless, they're gonna be exercising judgments that really do put Facebook in the role of a media organization. And until it owns up to that, it's gonna have troubles like this.
And we need to mention that Facebook has about 167 million users here in the United States, a billion daily active users throughout the world. You may want to weigh in here. In fact, I invite you to do that if you have some thoughts about what we're talking about, which is essentially now in front of a Senate committee asking Facebook to respond to allegations that it suppresses conservative views, but also really about the role of social media that Will Remus and Don Chmielewski have just pointed out, perhaps needs to be dissociated from regular news organizations, even though one could make the argument that there's a great deal of subjectivity and judgment that goes into stories in news organizations and how they comport themselves. We decided to do this story today. Some subjectivity was involved in that. There are a lot of other stories out there, but we'd like to hear from you on it. And you can join us now at our toll-free number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. Join the program. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. Again, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments you might have onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, and you can also, of course, go to our Facebook page. Lots to talk about here, particularly in terms of news bias and so-called neutrality. As far as some people see it, there may be no pretense about Facebook being a neutral news pipeline or trending news module as an algorithmically driven list of what people actually are already talking about. But that is certainly the way they present themselves. And we ought to mention here, just before we go to our calls and emails, Don Chmielewski, that Tom Stocky, who is the Facebook, he's in charge of this whole search operation, has said publicly on a couple of occasions their guidelines do not allow suppression, and there's no polarization. And he said they're totally neutral.
Yeah, he did. They had an initial sort of abbreviated statement saying, "Look, the algorithms do this. The humans have a role, but it's merely a vetting, you know, sort of this vetting role in terms of determining whether the source is legitimate or a hoax or bogus or perhaps not." You know, so that humans do have a role, but the algorithms are in the forefront. And then he went further later on in the day as this story began to ripple through D.C. in particular. Rens Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, actually went to Twitter to start criticizing Facebook for suppressing conservative news. As you know, this is a red-hot topic within conservative circles, this notion of liberal media bias. So it began to take on a life of its own. Facebook went to its own platform to explain in great detail that it does not suppress conservative views, that its curators are subject to oversight, and if they find curators are acting in a way that reflects political bias, that they can be fired. So that's what Facebook has said publicly to this point.
Let me bring our callers in, and let me begin, Anthony, with you. You're on the air, Anthony. Good morning.
Hey, thank you, Michael, for taking my call, and to your guests as well. No, I want to say that, you know, I've been a Facebook user, and I'm no longer a Facebook user, and I use Twitter now. But I have to say that a lot of my posts actually have been deleted as well, and it's not just conservative views. I'm a very independent person. I'm a non-party preference voter. I'll be voting for Jill Stein this year. And I have to say that when you expose things like the corruption of Hillary Clinton with her emails, to Donald Trump's tax evasion, to just stories like such for 9/11, I mean, and you know, the architects and engineers behind that, I mean, these stories are taken off the news because people don't want the truth getting out. And I just want to see, you know, that it's not just the right wing. It's everything, you know, from Democracy Now, RT, Mint News Press, all these different news stations, you know, The Intercept, The Guardian. These stories aren't making headlines because Facebook doesn't want people to be informed. And that's my opinion, and I feel that a lot of other people see that as well.
Well, that may be opinion of many people, but we get into this whole curation of news, Will Oremus, and again, it can cause a lot of vexing problems. I had somebody criticizing me the other day for not attending a film about critical of vaccinations. I didn't even know about the film. Let alone, if I had known about it, would have paid attention to it because there's so many things on my plate. I mean, this gets into just the whole awareness of how people select stories, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, there's so much to unpack in this story. It's really fascinating. I mean, one of the things that I should probably be clear about, in my opinion, Facebook did not intentionally, I cannot imagine that Facebook intentionally gave the curators of the trending section a mandate to suppress conservative news. That would be utterly counter to Facebook's interests. Facebook is, as we all know, an absolutely massive platform. It has more users than, I believe, any political party or movement in the world. It simply cannot afford to be seen as a partisan organization. At the same time, that is not to say that the people who run Facebook aren't personally liberal and that Facebook, that they don't sometimes advocate for liberal causes. I also think one of the other things is the distinction between this trending module, which is really a very small portion of the Facebook experience. It's hardly, people don't even know it exists on mobile, where you have to look under the search tab. It's kind of out of the way on the web. You know, the main Facebook experience is the news feed. That is algorithmic. There are no human curators in there, and so for that reason, it is not typically subject to this kind of scrutiny as to whether there's bias involved. But the fact is, algorithms have bias built into them as well, because algorithms are built by humans. They're overseen by humans. There are humans who go to work every day at Facebook, look at that news feed algorithm, and say, is it doing the best job it can? One of the things they've been trying to do over the past few years is make sure that algorithm surfaces more of what they consider quality content. Now, to them, that means it's not a hoax, it's not clickbait, it's not some scam site. But quality content is really in the eye of the beholder, as your caller highlights right there. And so, even there, Facebook's algorithm itself, the main newsfeed algorithm, has biases built in. They may be good biases, but Facebook, again, it's something that they don't want to confront because it's messy and it has the potential to alienate people.
Well, let me bring some more of our callers on. But before I do, I want to read a couple of comments. David writes, this has not been my experience on Facebook. I am constantly hiding or blocking conservative viewpoints from my page. And Tina writes, not surprised, implicit bias as well as activist employees. Mark Zuckerberg himself has made politically charged left-leaning comments to his employees, so his employees would feel empowerment to suppress news that they don't feel is good. This is why everybody needs to watch Fox News and listen to KQED to hear both sides. Let me go to some more of your calls. Let's go to Max next. Max, join us.
Yes, thank you. I'm curious how this is any different from the traditional role of a news editor making decisions about editorial content. Isn't that a process that already takes place in all the media that we consume?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Max. I've been kind of leaning into that question myself. Don Chmielewski?
You know, I've worked at a lot of news organizations. I work now at Recode. I worked prior to that at the LA Times, a very large news organization. There is a process that's involved. There's always, stories are often driven by a reporter's interest. And it's informed by events that are happening around us or things that we happen to be curious about or sparked through interview conversations, and it's refined in through the editing process. But there is no one voice. And so the internet has opened up a number of platforms for people to gather news. What's intriguing to me is just how powerful Facebook has emerged as a platform where people get their news. There's a Pew study that was just published in February taking a look at how people got news about the 2016 presidential election. And for an age group of between 18 and 29, social media was the dominant source of information for about the campaign. 35% of people said that they this was their most valuable source of information. That's not true for older age groups, who tend to tune into cable news in local news with greater frequency. But that underscores why we're having this conversation, such a charged conversation, because it has emerged as the primary news source. What Facebook lacks, perhaps, is sort of the experience and pedigree that a traditionally trained journalist might have had in sort of refining the news and making sure it's filtered for bias And that's why we're having this conversation.
And again, Don Chmielewski is senior editor of Recode. Let me read a couple more comments. Rob writes, why does this matter? Media outlets modify and screen content all the time, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, etc., to align with a larger narrative. Is Facebook supposed to be benign? Remember, the company's bottom line is the almighty dollar, much like those other media outlets. And Phil writes, swaying the minds of the public is the job media has taken on its own, as its own. Gone are the days of news simply being objective reporting. That's assuming it ever was. Let me get some more of your calls on here. And Dennis, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. So my comment is that you're reporting what the Republicans are complaining about. But what's the outrageous irony here is that the Republican senators are going to subpoena Facebook and try to control what comes through, because Facebook controls, now the Republican senators want to control. What's the difference here? Why? Who do we want to be in control? Thanks. I'll take my comment off the air.
All right. Do you see it as that kind of power struggle, as he's outlined it, Will Oremus? We've said this is very political, obviously politically charged.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think to a great extent this Senate inquiry is political theory, political theater. It's a wonderful opportunity that Facebook has handed the Republican Party to fuel this narrative that has really driven the Republican primary election, which is that the media is biased against conservatives. They're filtering out the real news. They're only giving you one side of things. Facebook has inadvertently, obviously, has played right into that. You know, I don't think that's not a struggle that Facebook wants to. That's not a fight Facebook wants to be a part of. They are going to, I think they are going to back away from that as fast as they can. They do not want to be seen as partisan on either side, because, you know, as well as Fox News and MSNBC are doing today, you know, the emergence of partisan mass media is relatively recent. I mean, you know, Facebook is in a way a throwback to the old days when you had one giant media organization that you know, was giving the news to everybody. You know, Facebook obviously isn't reporting and writing the news, but it is distributing the news to liberals and conservatives alike in a way that Fox News and MSNBC are not.
And let me bring another caller on here while we have a few moments left. Arlie, that's you. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to point out that Facebook is a platform that provides me with my news in the morning on my mobile, and I'm able to actually read through the topics, and I'm able to see what other people are saying. And in that way, it gives people a place where they can open up a dialogue and read what people on the left and the right are saying, and it prompts the user to do their own research. So I think it is a valuable part of Facebook's platform in that sense.
Okay, I thank you for that statement. And one more call from El Cerrito. Ruth Ann, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi there. I wanted to ask the guests what they felt about the distinction between reporters and news organizations being neutral as opposed to objective.
Okay, I had sort of said before, I don't know if journalism can be objective. Even just the use of language gets into subjectivity. But got seconds left here. Don Chmielewski, you want to weigh in on that?
Oh, you know, when any reporter or news organization tilts too far right or left, readers have an avenue to call people out. Anyone who's had access to Twitter or Facebook knows that happens instantly, and it can happen immediately. So there is greater accountability right now than there ever has been in the history of journalism, it feels.
We would hope that to be the case and to continue to be the case. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Don Chmielewski of Recode, and thank you, Will Oremus of Slate. And thank you, our listeners. We are going to have another segment up ahead, and in the segment up ahead, we're going to talk about what to do now in the wake of the drought as California eases water conservation and keeps bans on some water use. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.